اتَّقَ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That whoever will show due reverence, will show respect to the sacred signs, to the sacred salient features of Islam, then really this person has taqwa in his heart. And if a person has taqwa in his heart, then that person is close to Allah, he's close to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Failure which, if a person doesn't have taqwa in his heart, then this person is distant from Allah, is distant from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So a reflection of our taqwa will mean that when we come in the masjid, we understand whose house we are in firstly. That means that when a person comes in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will adhere to the etiquette of the masjid. And something that we may sometimes trivialize, regard as insignificant of coming inside the masjid, is number one is reciting the dua when we come inside the masjid. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, Allahumma aftah li abwaaba rahmatik. Now how important this is for a person's mindset, for preparing a person's mindset. Number one is, you are cognizant of the favor, of the great favor that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did upon us. In the sense that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed so much for us to gain the deen of Islam. And here we are, we know that we have to pray 5 times a day. We know that we have to approach the masjid in a certain manner. Really, we can never ever thank Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enough. So the minimum is, whenever we are coming to the masjid, is to recite durood salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, this is more emphasized on the day of Jumu'ah. But over and above that, daily this should be our practice. That minimum, the least we can do for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to recite 100 durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's very easy. One is a person who recites after every single salah 20 durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If after every salah 20 is too much, then 10 before salah, 10 after salah. How much is that? G? 20. 10 plus 10 times 5. It's 100 durood that a person will recite upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the minimum we can do. But if we, for whatever reason, we have a very busy schedule, then what we can do is we can recite 100 durood sitting in one place. Either we can sit after Fajr salah, after Maghrib salah, after Asr salah, after Isha salah, whenever it is convenient for us. But to recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that does not enhance Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any way. It is, so to say, a feather in our cap. It is a benefit for us that we are reciting durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we will reap the benefits thereof. And the minimum benefit is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, Man salla alayhi wahida sallallahu alayhi ashara. That the person who sends one durood, one salawat, one salam upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send 10 mercies upon him. And we well know, if a person is enveloped by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all his affairs in the dunya are sorted. But never mind, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't envelop a person with the mercy in this dunya, then that one mercy, leave alone the other 9, that one mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover the person with in the hereafter is sufficient to take this person into Jannah. So in other words, our reciting durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a means of salvation for us. And over and above that, when the azan is called out, to recite durood after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is mentioned, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, to recite durood. And then after the azan is completed, we read durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we read the dua. And in the dua is also durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a dua for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَبَعَثُهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدَّ. And oh Allah, grant Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that promised abode, that raised maqam, that raised and praiseworthy maqam, al-maqam al-mahmood, which is reserved only for one person. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us that I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us this. Now imagine a simple ummati like you and I will recite for such a great being, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That will be to our benefit. So that is one way of showing gratitude to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we enter into the masjid, and then over and above that, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, it is only your grace, it is only your bounty. I could have been a fire worshipper, I could have been a Christian, I could have been a Jew. But oh Allah, you've directed me to your masjid, to your house, to worship you. And this is only your pleasure. And over and above that, you sent your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach me how to worship you, Allah. Really, I can never ever thank you enough, oh Allah. I can never ever show gratitude to you, Allah. As a matter of fact, there was one person, in the time of Ali al-Muttaqi al-Hindi rahimahullah, a great saint of his time. So he noticed that somebody was walking to the masjid, somebody was walking toward the synagogue. And at that time he was walking like normal, walking to the masjid. And then he noticed this person going to the synagogue, and then he began to think. He began to ponder. Because really the beauty of our Islam is, when we see somebody doing something that is contrary to our teachings of Islam, contrary to the way of Islam, to the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we should stop and ponder and take lesson from that. As a matter of fact, there is a dua when we see somebody involved in sin, or when we see somebody who is being trialed, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is putting him through a test. We well know that sometimes Allah Ta'ala puts people in test. So then we recite, Alhamdulillah alladhi aafani mimma btalaka bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdhila. That all praise is due to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who has kept me safe, who has saved me from the trial that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is putting you through. And he has given me preference in this regard over you. This is only the grace of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In that, there is a subtle message of humility. That, oh Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa bik. That there is no power, there is no might, there is no strength to stay away from evil, to stay away from wrong. And oh Allah, at this moment you spared me of the trial. So Allah, it is only you. And at that moment you are showing your humility before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this person can never be proud, because he understands that the power, the qudrat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is active on that person and is also active upon him. So he really shows Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's humility. So then that is one way. So this person anyways, he walks to the masjid, he walks to his synagogue. And Ali al-Muttaqi al-Hind rahimahullah, he begins walking towards the masjid. And then he thought, and then the murid, the person who was with him, the khadim, the servant was with him, asked him, and this should be our demeanor, that whenever we have our elderly buzuganadeen, our seniors, we should try and learn from them. If we see them doing something, we should inquire, what is the benefit of this? Not in a questioning, objecting way, but rather to learn from them. That I saw you do this, for example, you're reading 6 extra rakats after Maghrib, or you are reading so many rakats, etc. You're doing this, you're reading extra Quran, Majid. What is the benefit of this? So that we can also practice upon that. Not that we object. So anyway, he asked this buzuk, this saintly person, that what is the reason behind that? So he says to him, I stopped for a moment and I was thinking that what is it that directed him towards the synagogue and directed me towards the masjid? And I could not find any answer besides it was the grace of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It was only the grace of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So therefore, I thanked Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for having granted me this opportunity to come towards the masjid. So as we enter, we are entering with that, we're entering the masjid with that demeanor, with that frame of mind that, ya Allah, this could also be my last salah. Yesterday somebody passed away, the day before somebody passed away, but the message hasn't come to me that your time to pass away will be now, your time to pass away will be tomorrow, I don't know. So then I must conduct in such a manner as if I know, as if I'm convinced that this very next hour may drop dead. So this person will come into the masjid like this, then what will be his demeanor? Then he will come, he will occupy the front rows. Why? Because he heard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say that the front rows are the best rows for men. He will not sit against the wall, he will not sit behind, because why? He's endeavoring, he's trying his best to get the best mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And he knows that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sends special mercy upon those people who occupy the front rows. When he will occupy the front rows, he'll get the special mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So he doesn't want to get deprived. Because look, when we come to the masjid, what did we say? Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. So as if Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is responding to us and saying that yes, the place now where you are going to get the mercy is in the front rows. Is in the front rows. By occupying the front rows, you'll get the mercy. So then how can we say Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik? But then we show a lax attitude that, ya Allah, I'm not worried now. Your mercy is reigning in the masjid. I'm really not cared about it, so to say, by zubana hal, by way of inference. We're saying to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that we don't need the mercy. And we well know for every single thing, every single aspect of our life, we need the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Be it in our lives, our wives, our children, etc. We need the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the frame of mind will be different when you walk into the masjid with this thought in your mind that I am going to Allah, I'm going to meet Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So that is the minimum that we can do when we are coming to the masjid. And then over and above that, what do we do then when we sit in the masjid? Do we sit and engage in idle talk? Do we sit and begin catching up on what we missed on? Do we begin talking with our friends? No. But we begin engaging in salah, remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, reading the Quran Majid. Because this masjid, Nabi Sallam said to one Sahabi, a Bedouin at that time, who didn't know much about Islam, when he walked in the masjid and he urinated in the masjid. So then Nabi Sallam also is excellent akhlaq. He didn't shout him. He didn't reprimand him. He called him to the side after the whole incident with the Sahaba. Then he explained to him that this masjid, this house of Allah, is meant for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we come into the masjid, the objective, the maqsad, the purpose of coming to the masjid should be to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to catch up with old friends, not to get in discussions, not to do business, etc., but to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do in the masjid. As a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bear testimony for this man's iman, innama ya'muru masajid Allah. Those people who have iman, idha ra'aytum ar-rajul yata'ahadu al-masjid fashhadu lahu bil iman. Bear testimony of that man's iman, the man who comes in the masjid, who frequents the masjid. And obviously we say, Nabi Sassam says, who frequents the masjid, meaning he comes into the masjid and he doesn't waste his time. He doesn't while away his time. He doesn't wait that, oh, the salah must quick finish up quickly so I can run away. No, al-masjid, the mu'min in the masjid is like a fish in water. And when he's out of the masjid, he's feeling restless that when is the muazzin going to call so that I can come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an incident that is mentioned in one of the books of Ta'lim. At once there was a porter. This porter was helping somebody carry his items, like how we see when you go to the shop, somebody will help you with your items, with the trolley, etc. So then he was helping this person back in the days. Then the person used to walk him from the market to his house. So then the azan was called out, and then this porter said, look, can you give me a few moments to perform salah and then we'll carry on. This person was also a Muslim. So then he performed the salah, and then he took time. Obviously now this is just to explain the incident, the lesson, not necessarily what he did. But he performed salah in the masjid, and then he was not coming out. So then this person got worried that we got goods here to carry, so he started shouting for him, and he called him out. And then when the person came out of the masjid, before he could come out, he said, look, I don't know, I'm just enjoying myself in the masjid. I would like to come out, but I'm enjoying. He says, come out, who is keeping you inside? Then he said something that we should ponder, and we should look in our hearts, that do we have that enthusiasm, that jazba in our hearts when we come in the masjid, that it is like this person who said that when I came in the masjid, that same zat, that same being who is keeping you outside has kept me inside. So when we are coming to the masjid, do we have that enthusiasm in our hearts that I want to be in the masjid, I want to read more Quran, I want to engage in more ibadah? Do we have that? Then we should search in our hearts and we should really check. And if that is not so, then we should try and work on our hearts, try to better ourselves, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, istighfar. That was as far as now when we come into the masjid, how do we approach